So we're moving ahead in Bishul Akum, and we're going through the different Atarim. So yesterday we went through one of the Atarim, the one of Nechol Kamo Shulchai. Today we can go through the second Lashon of the Gemara, Ve'ena Olal Shulchan Malachim. So first things first, how do we paskin? Which of these Lashonos, meaning the Gemara, is very clear that according to the second Lashon of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav, the Halacha is that kol she'eino nechol shulchan malachim the lav is mosa pas ein bo mishum shulev lichavim, anything that's not eaten al shulchan malachim together with the bread, I guess as part of the meal, is not considered to be subject to bishul akum. So Tosos on the spot, ika benayu dagum katan vardi v'daisa, he goes through why the nafkaminas are all in one direction, and he writes a few lines in v'lachein pasuk rabbeinu tam dehilchasa kahani treilishni. We paskin like both lashonos. V'iika chad minayu. If you have just one consideration or the other, o nechol chai, either it's semi edible raw, o eino ola, or it's not ola al shulchan malachim, ein bo mishum b'shulei avdei chavim. And then we have that line we discussed yesterday: debishal sofrim halacha chara mekel. Because since it's a drabanan, we follow the most mekel shita. If you look in the Ran, in the back of the Gemara, on Daf Tesvav Amar Aleph Bedafe Arid, so the Ran also quotes this Rabbeinu Tam. The Ran elaborates a little bit more and quotes it a little bit differently, where the Ran seems to be very clear that the first heter of Bishul Akum is, first of all, special welcome to Mayor Solomon. Welcome back to Kenny Westwood. The Ran seems to say that the first heter of Bishul Akum is Lekulei Alma, meaning the second heter is not disagreeing with the first heter. The second heter is only being mosif on the first heter. And that's how he understood why the nafkaminas are all in that direction. That's how the Ran presents Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Now, often, when there are different presentations of the same Shita, you would say, okay, Tosos was not as wordy, he was not as elaborate in his description, but probably he means the same thing that the Ran means, unless you find some indication that he doesn't mean the same thing that the Ran means. So this was a discussion we were having yesterday, right? Does Tosos really mean exactly what the Ran is saying? So I wasn't convinced that he means the same thing that the Ran is saying, because those words, Tibishal Sofrim Halacha Charamekel, I thought, you know, and the previous words, you know, the one or the other, sounding like they're both, you know, they're both on equal footing, and then saying, oh, but we're making both of them because Shal Sofrim Halacha Charamekel, I thought that sounded like that Tosos understands that the two Lashonos disagree with each other, but we could be making on both of them because the whole thing is only Drabbanan. That's what I thought Tosos sounded like. The Ran is clearly not that way. The Ran is clear in his presentation of Rabbeinu Tam, before we get to what the Ran himself said, or what he quotes on the Ramban. In his presentation of Rabbeinu Tam, he's very clear that as far as Nechol Chai, yeah, both Lashonos agree that if it's Nechol Chai, it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. As far as Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim, Machlokas, and because we have a Machlokas about that one Inyan, and the whole thing's only the Rabbanan, so we'll be Mekel. Yeah. In where? In Tosos? That's three Tosos, yeah. Yeah, so that's what I was saying yesterday, that most of all the Rishon means that each of the Nafkaminas are assuming you're accepting the first Deya. So, meaning, and that's an indication to us that you can accept both. So, I mean, the Gemara gives nafkamina as if it's saying that, like, you're allowed to accept both kulas, but not that they don't argue on each other. That's what I thought. But again, the Ran understood Rabbeinu Tam very clearly not that way. Yeah.
How do you pass by both shittas?
So that's what we discussed yesterday. Perhaps because safik drabanan lekula, and we discussed whether you're really allowed to do that, to do safik drabanan lekula in both directions. Okay, so let's take a look now at the Ran on the second wide line. The Ran on the second wide line then quotes a different shita. Aval Haramban zal pasa kalishn desurai de kol shein nechol kmo shulchai afal pi shein alol shulchan lachin yesh v'mishum shuli avdei chavim. The Ran paskins that anything that's not edible raw ein nechol chai, even if it's not olal shulchan lachin, is still going to be subject to bishul akum, meaning he rejects the kula of Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim. He rejects the Pasuk of Lishna Kama. Vevi Raya, and he brings a Raya that we paskin like this, that the only thing we look at, the only criteria by which you can exempt from Bishalakum is what? Is what? Nechal Kmo Shu Chai. So his Raya is, Mei Ahini Shliki Dilakaman Daf Lamed Chesem Nebeis, Disvir Le Larabzal She'ein Olin Al Shulchan Malachim, that they're not, they're apparently not Ol Al Shulchan Malachim, and nevertheless, the ones that are bitter and the ones that are moderately bitter are aser. That's his raya. What's his raya? So you have to obviously see the Gemara to know what the raya is. I'm reminded, I told you, Rav David Hirsch taught us in 11th grade. Rav David Hirsch taught us Yesod. He said, when Taisus quotes a Gemara, you better learn that whole perek. That's what he told us. So when the Ran quotes a Gemara, you at least have to look up the Gemara. You may not learn the whole perek. He said, I was just talking to Baruch Pesach Mendelssohn yesterday in Moresh HaKolel, and he said that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik used to, whenever someone quoted a Rambam, he would, it was perek Gimel Halacha Vav. He'd say, okay, let's open up a Rambam, and he'd start reading from Halacha Aleph, always. He said, how could you understand the Rambam unless you see the whole context? The only way to understand it is to see the whole context. Okay, but let's see the Gemara. We're not going to read the whole parak. We're not going to read the whole Amud. We're not going to read half the Amud. We're just going to look for this little line of Gemara over here. So the Gemara tells us, Hani Ahini Shliki Darmai. It's about, I don't know, 8 lines before the lines get super wide on the bottom. Right, that's what we're talking about. Hani Ahini Shliki. Hani Ahini Shliki Da'armai. Mai. So what's the halach about these Ahini Shliki? What's Ahini? So Rashi tells us, Tamarim. What are Tamarim? Dates. Kamenetsky used to say. People would always get confused between Tamarim and Ta'enim. So you would date a Tamar, you would not date a Ta'ena. Right? So Tamarim is a date. Okay. So Tamar is a date. So there are these, I don't know if maybe one of these newfangled Israeli names is like Ta'ena or something, but it used to be that Tamar is a Jewish name. But okay. So Hani Shliki Da Armai. These dates of the Armai, of non-Jews, Mai. What's the din as far as Bishul Akum is concerned? So Chulye Lo Tibayilach. There's no shaila about the sweet ones. Why is there no shaila about the sweet ones? So Rashi says, "Mitukim v'adeshari dimishum shuliyakum hari nechal chayin." They're already sweet. You can eat them the way they are. So as long as it's nechal chayin, it's totally fine. That's not a shaila. Divadeisharu. That's for sure mutter. Miriri lo tibaylach. Divadeisiri. If they're bitter, there's no shaila that they're definitely aser. Why are they definitely aser? Because they're not nechal chayin. And only when you cook them do they become edible. So the sole criteria that we are measuring over here is this nechal chai or is it not nechal chai? Ki tibaylach mitzi'ai mai. The whole shaila is what if it's moderately sweet and moderately bitter? It's somewhere in between. Samelu mitzi'baylachu derebi asu manu levi. Fine. Whatever. So the raya that the Ran is bringing from the Ramban is that, come on, we're talking about bitter dates. If they're serving something at a Shulchan Malachim, what are the chances they're going to serve the bitter dates? Or even the in-between dates? The Shulchan Malachim is going to find the best dates on the market, right? They're going to get the sweetest ones. So if we're going to only measure whether the bitter dates are mutter or aser based on nechal chai or not nechal chai, it must be that we're assuming that even though it's not olal shulchan malachim, it could still be a problem. So olal shulchan malachim is not a heter. That's the raya. Says the Ran, I don't think it's a raya. Where is it? Says the Ran, ve'ein zu raya. Who says that they're not all al shulchan malachim? Who says that the king wouldn't serve them? Yeah, the bitter dates, of course the king wouldn't serve them when they are bitter, but maybe after they're cooked, they're good and they're delicious and they might even be superior to the sweet dates. Meaning, who told you that just because they're the more bitter dates that they're not olal shulchanah? There are a lot of things that are absolutely inedible and bitter and disgusting when they're raw, but they're delicious when they're cooked. So, you know, why would this be any different? So therefore, the Ran rejects the Rampan. V'nimtza p'sakin shel devarim, t'kol sheyesh bo achas migimul midos halalu. So that we already saw, the hemshech of the Ran, that there are three kulas, not two, three kulas that we've already seen, leaving out the next one, which we're going to see, and that is anything that is nechachai, anything that's ein olal shulchan lachem, and even the Ran says, and even though he acknowledges other Rishonim don't say it, even something that's not nishtanim u'briyas al-idei ha'or. That's also a kula in the view of the Ran. Okay, so that's the foundations over here. That whether these are both kulas or only one or the other is a kula seems to be a machlokas Rishonim, and the majority of Rishonim seem against the Ramban, Tosfos, the Rabbeinu Tam, however you understand the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam, and therefore if you look in Shulchan Aruch and source number one in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel Si'if Aleph, Davar she'enu nechal k'mo shulchai v'gam olal shulchum lachum lavis b'azapas olav ha'peres she'yivashlov de'gelulim afilu b'kli yisol v'veisol asr mishum b'shul akum. Right, very clear that the only way it's going to be asr is if it fits neither of those criteria. Right, if it is both not nechal chai and it is olal shulchum lachum. The trickier part, so that's the easier part of the sugya, just to figure out how do we paskin. Right? The trickier part is now defining the term. What does olal shulchan malachim mean? I saw just this morning in this sefer, this big fat sefer on Bishalachim, shulchan malachim, so chelek aleph, shar gimel, perek, it's big, I mean it's crazy how big the sefer is for Bishalachim, but he has in shar gimel perek, I gotta find it now. See, if I don't find it, I'll just say it outside. He quotes from Rav Asher Weiss that Olal Shulchan Malachim does not, here it is, in Perek Aleph of Shar Gimel, that Olal Shulchan Malachim can't possibly mean that it would only be served at a palace. You know, it can't be that that's the, that's what it means, that's the chashivas that we're talking about. Why? So he writes as follows. Kosovli agon Rav Asher Vaishlita. Tikasha amru olal shulchan malachim ena kavana dafka l'malachim mamish. It can't mean that only what a king would eat. Talo kolis b'shuli nachrim hu mishum. What's the answer for? Chasmus, right? Mishum benoseim. You're only not allowed to marry benos malachim. Benos idiotos asurus kama benos malachim. Ela kavanasam l'su'uda chashuva shederach la'az min orchid. It means you would serve it at a fancy meal. At the kind of meal, you know how, like, when you're having a lot of company, your mom cooks a little differently than when it's just the family? You know, efshir, right? A little different, right? So that when you're having people over and you want to impress, so would it be the kind of food that you would serve, right? It's not going to be tuna fish sandwiches, right, when you're having company. V'yesh ba'avana zos lahokel ulahachmir. And therefore, Rav Asher says, it will come out both the kula and the chumra. Whoa. The kula and the chumra, I would have said this comes out entirely the chumra, because you're putting more things in the category of olal shulchan malachim. So he says, the michada no amrim, the lo bein and dafka olal shulchan shul malachim kidei lesa. That's to say that it's us, it doesn't actually, you don't have to call the White House and say, oh, what's on your menu, which by the way, some kashrus organizations do. They'll call the White House chef and say, what's on your menu, would you ever have this on your menu? And that's how they'll paskin the olal shulchan malachim. I mean, that's taken very literally. Aval mi'idach yesh b'zeh l'hokel. But there's also room to be makel of here. Why? T'ma'acholim kalim shederach adam lechol ba'aruchos kalos k'mo deganim shonim u'psisei orez u'chadome av she'na'acholim gam al yidei malachim ein be'em isr mishum shulei nachrim. There are certain side dishes that they might serve, you know, at a king's table, but they're clearly not chashuva foods. You know, which is a very interesting thing. Rice? It's a side dish because it's always there. Because, like, you know, if you have anything with a sauce, it's got to go on something. So, okay, I guess you can put it on quinoa, you know. But rice is like a common, it's the bed, right? Is that, right? That the meatballs go on. But the meatballs are really a little shulchan malachim, right? So that's, you know, you get the rice when you order from the Chinese restaurant, you get the giant thing of rice that no one eats, right? Just to soak up some of the sauce. So, So that's what he suggests. And he's medayik this from the Rambam. The Rambam in Machol Sasuras Perk Yizayin Alachat Hezvav, Rambam's lashon is V'davar she'eino ola al shulchan malachim lechu ba'asapas Ein adam mazmin es chavero alav. Whoa, that's pretty explicit, no? If it's not ola shulchan malachim, means you wouldn't be mazmin es chavero alav. You don't say, oh, come over tonight, we're having fruity pebbles. You know, mazmin es chavero alav. So the gather of Shulchan Malachim has nothing to do with Malachim, it has nothing to do with Sarim, it has nothing to do with presidents or kings or queens or anything else. Fine. However, it's not abundantly clear that that's true according to everybody. Meaning the Rambam, yeah, it's pretty good, pretty solid in the Rambam. Just give me 1 second. The Rashba in Taurus HaBayis HaAruch, Bayis Gimel Shar Zayin, the Rashba writes, Hilkach ein isur bishule goyim ela b'davar chashuv sha'olal shulchan malachim. Right? Only davar chashuv that's olal shulchan malachim. In Torah Sabayis HaKatzer, kisha gazru chacham el bishule goyim lo gazru ela, and he goes on, v'davar shul chashuv sha'roi la'losal shulchan malachim. Im la'achila la'achila v'im la'afis pas la'afis pas. Meaning, just like they didn't aser anything that's not edible raw, Chazal required a maisa chashuv in order to aser bishalakum. They similarly didn't aser a sug of ma'achal, a type of food that is not royal al-sal shulchan malachim. Now, why would Chazal aser only the sug of food that's olal shulchan malachim or is royal malachim? The chashash is chasmus, after all. I mean, Rav Ashwai had a good point. That chashash has to be for everybody, for all goyim, not only for malachim. So, in the chidushim of Rabbeinu Yohanan ben Miluniel, quoted here in this sefer, the reason that it's mutter when it's olal shulchan malachim, aval bishaderech hediotim lelavis bosapas, even though a hediot may put whatever peanut butter on his bread. In bog goyu bishlo, in bog mishum bishlo goyim. If a goy were to cook that, it's not bishlakum. The kivan de lo chashiv kulehai lo asi the migra basar goy shevashleu lo shevul dechasus. Since it's not chashiv, you're not going to develop a relationship with that guy. So only something that has chashivus, which would be possible to be olal shulchan malachim, creates a sense of korva to the guy, and that's why the measuring stick is whether it actually is olal shulchan malachim. And that's what the Rashi writes pretty much explicitly. The Rashi writes, "She'ein b'kol mine liftan mishum bishulei nachrim, ela b'mine liftan hachashuvim sha'olin machmas chashivusan al shulchan melachim lelav hisbos apas. Lefi she'ein kirav adas ela behem." You want to know how relationships are developed? How inappropriate relationships are developed with the goyim? When you have something, when he says caviar. I don't know what caviar is, but it's not kosher, right? But that's something that's like a big deal, right? That's malachim eat that. We have like a fancy dinner tonight. That's the kind of thing. But it's got to be something that's actually olal shulchan malachim. That's what it sounds like from the Rashi. But the Rambam, clearly not that way, right? The Rambam seems to assume that olal shulchan malachim, whatever you be mazmin, chavero alav. That's what he suggests, that it's perhaps a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, that the Rashba takes Shulchan Malachim much more literally. He makes no indication of Mazmin Chaveru Alav, whereas the Rambam seems to be about not what's actually Olal Shulchan Malachim, but what is what is considered a Chashva Maichel for anybody. The Rashba, what the Marmakum is? It's in the Torah Sabayis HaAruch, Bayis Gimel Shar Zayin. Bayis Gimel Shar Zayin. So that's why he sets up the Machlokas. You could argue it's not a Machlokas, but that's the way he sets up the Machlokas over here. That they're arguing about what the definition of Olal Shulchan Malachim is. Right, meaning malachim doesn't really mean malachim. It just means, you know, it's meaning it could be that, you know, we have a next week, even this week, Shabbos Chazon, Shabbos during the 9 days, right? What's the expression the post can use about what kind of meal you're allowed to have? Kesuda Shlomo Melch B'Shaita. Oh, I'm really going to be able to have a suda like Shlomo Melech. I mean, that's the expression, that it's a Shulchan Malachim, that you don't hold anything back. You have a beautiful meal.
When we're giving a
halachic
parameter
for it, it's hard with language, meaning it could be that was understood, that that's what Shulchan Malachim meant. Shulchan Malachim meant that you have a beautiful meal. That's something that's not going to just be, you know, your breakfast with oatmeal or something. It's a beautiful meal. But that's was today oatmeal? Is that, yeah, I couldn't identify what it was. Okay, so that's the right. Okay, that's one issue. There is a further issue, which is very, very much related. Is it anything kings eat, or is it anything that would be served at a, you know, significant banquet? This became a major issue when the OU. Let's say tuna fish, a can of tuna fish. So one of the heterim that the OU used in having the tuna fish cooked is that it's not olal shulchan malachim. Would a king or a president eat a canned tuna fish? Probably. Just not, they certainly wouldn't serve it at a state dinner. The truth is there are several other issues over there. It may not be a little shulchan malachim anyway, because it's not prepared in a... Tuna can be prepared in a way that's a little shulchan malachim. If prepared properly, a tuna steak, you can go to a fancy restaurant and get a tuna steak for a lot of money, right? But when it's prepared in a can with a steam cooker on a boat somewhere, right, then it's not a little shulchan malachim. So the question is, do you follow the min, or do you follow the way that it's prepared? So that probably relates to the broader discussion of what if you have something that as it's cooked, not all shulchan malachim, but you could doctor it up. You could do something to make it all shulchan malachim. And people do this in the kitchen all the time. Something flops, so they reconfigure. You know, they use it as the chocolate cake they make flops. You can't serve it as chocolate cake, so it becomes crumbs on top of another cake or something. Right? There's ways, or it gets cut out into shapes of smaller muffins or something. You know, like they do something to doctor it up. So this is also an interesting discussion in the postkin. And there is what I thought was a very interesting distinction that the Chalkas Bin Yamin makes. You know, Darki Tshuva, in source number 21, you know who the Darki Tshuva was? Gave it away a little bit. What? Darki Tshuva? No. Munkacher Rebbe, Darki Tshuva. So Darki Tshuva, Rav Shechter pointed out that Darki Tshuva is like on Yoredei. You ever see... In your day, there's a sefer called Pischei Tshuva on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, where he quotes like all the Chassam Sofers and the Rebbe Yehudas and Rebbe Akiva Eggers and Tshuva Me'avas and and Chavos Das and whatever, like all the major Achronim between the time of the Shach and the Taz and the time that the Pischei Tshuva was written. He quotes all the raid from the major Achronim, and then Darki Tshuva came along and he quotes all the other Achronim from after the time of the Pischei Tshuva, because there's constantly more Tshuvas being written. So the Munkacher had a yeshiva. And he sort of divided up Shulchan Aruch amongst all of his Talmidim. He gave each guy a chapter, so to speak, right? And he said, but not to edit, to write. And each guy had to write, like, and then he was the general editor. So Rav Shach said, if you ever learn Darki Tshuva straight, it's like jarring almost. Because, like, there are certain se'ifim that are very strong, and others that are like very shvach. He said, because some of the bachrim were very strong and some of them were not as strong, but they all got to write their chapter. So Darki Tshuva. But he wouldn't allow it in if it was ridiculous. It was pretty much a collection anyway of other achronim. Some of the bachrim had better research skills than others, I guess. But in Darki Tshuva, the Munkacher writes, he was the general editor of the whole thing. I'm told Rav Shach used to say that same is true of the Mishnah Berurah. The Chavos Chaim didn't actually write the whole thing, that he would have Talmidim help him write it, but he really kept a much closer watch on the editing of it. Anyway, so Darki Tshuva, source number 21. Ve'ein svar alomer, shazola nikra ala shulchan aruch, kivin shein ala shulchan aruch, kach, kemo shekodem asa. You know, sometimes you buy something, it's already cooked by the guy, but the way it is now, it's not yet ala shulchan aruch. Ella, there's definitely a typo over there, it's not shekolin, it's something else. Osam bebayis, v'noslim ala shum udvash, it should probably be, dizeh eino. He says, it can't be that that if the way you buy it, it's not alal shulchan aruch, that automatically makes it not alal shulchan aruch. Demashim b'divrei haposkim, av shamachal eino alal shulchan aruch, rak b'tosefes minim miminim shonim, v'reach tov, dastam achal shulchan aruch eino alal kach al shulchanim kamo shonu achal osam. You know the difference between most of the food that's served at a state dinner and the food served at your dinner table on a weeknight in your house is? You know what the major difference is? Presentation. You're not going to have the little colorful peppers sprinkled on the top of your piece of chicken, right, at home. But there's a guy garnishing, right? There's a guy who's in charge in the White House of doing like the garnishing to make it look beautiful. So he says, "Vima ta'omer dolo shulchan aruch ma'inu kimo sha'olil lefaneinu achshav mamish." Lo nishar din bishuli akum balam klal. So you destroy the whole din of bishul akum because nothing's olal shulchan aruch. It's never presented to us in a way that it is already olal shulchan aruch. So the only time you have bishul akum is if you go to a fancy restaurant. Now, what's he assuming? He's assuming that the definition of olal shulchan aruch is mamish, the way it would be served at a state banquet, right? So he's saying, but it can't be, and therefore, even if it could be doctored up to become olal shulchan aruch, it's already subject to bishul akum now. If you could change it later to make it olal shulchan aruch, that is bishul akum right now. In Chelkas Binyamin, a similar discussion, he quotes a Tshuvas Beis Shlomo, Simen Kuf Ayin Ches, al odos min shemen anas al yidei bishul gar'inim, there's a certain type of oil that they would have to cook seeds. You can't eat those seeds. They're not edible raw. But so they would cook those seeds, and then they would extract the oil from them. So the Beis Shlomo says mutter, because when they cook the seeds, those seeds wouldn't be served on a king's table. The oil that comes from those seeds would be served at a king's table. That oil cannot be extracted when they're raw. It can only be extracted when they're cooked. So what happened over here? The way you're getting it now is not all shulchan aruch. But you do a little more modification of it. You do a little squeezing of the oil out. And now it is all shulchan aruch. El da'achar kach mosim men ha-shemen al yidei pulos acheros va'az ha-shemen al shulchan aruch. So what do you see? Mavur da avgav da garinim ruim laachila achar abishul ve'efshar l'saknam lahotzimem shemen ol shulchan aruch. Even though the guy cooked them to make them edible, and now you can adjust them to make them worthy of a king's table, b'kamakum kivin da achar abishul ein roi oz lalos. But when you got it, it was not yet roi to be olal shulchan aruch. Im ken einu b'din machal olal shulchan aruch. It's fine, it's mutter. That's luchar against the Darki Tshuva. Because what did Darki Tshuva say? As you get it, however it's presented to you, if you can doctor it up to make it olal shulchan aruch, that's already considered olal shulchan aruch. Because otherwise, you know, we never have with all the garnishings and all the presentation and all the beauty and whatever. If it were possible to doctor it up to make it olal shulchan aruch, that would be good enough. But comes along this Tshuva Sefer, the Beis Shlomo, and he says, no, as you got it, it can't be served al shulchan aruch. I don't care what you could do to it afterwards. He sets it up as against the Tshuva's Chesed Avraham, that Avagav Deton Hechsher L'Achra Bishul, but right now it's already called al shulchan aruch. So what the Chalakas B'Yom is going to say is that there's no machlokas here at all. Yeah?
Just going back on the Darkei Tshuva, so, I mean, everyone would agree that it is a cool in Gemara. So how would he explain, like, in what case, what would be considered?
No, that's kufa what he's saying. He's saying it is a kula that has to apply. So, I'm sorry. He's saying that bishul akum has to apply. So, what would be the case? The case would be something that is such a low quality, a food that's such a low quality that they wouldn't use it on a shulchan malacha. You know, there's like the, you buy orange juice. So Tropicana is a very high quality, these very high quality oranges. There are a lot of other companies that also make, not from concentrate orange juice, but somehow it doesn't taste the same. Right? Why not? So because they don't have the bugs or whatever. But aside from that, but they use a different grade of orange. So it's just a lower quality orange that they're using. So something that's just a lower quality food, so there's no like fixing it. It's just lower quality. They're going to use only the highest quality ingredients. You know, it's got to be made from the best stuff on earth. Many other slogans, I'm sure, also. But I think that's what it is.
You're saying then basically it depends what type of orange in the supermarket. That, like, if 100 oranges, one they can pick out. So this one could be only if it's not the best one. It's like the king would only pick the best orange in the whole pile of oranges. So
if something's of inferior quality, the one that's half rotten or not sweet or whatever, maybe. Yeah, maybe. That's what it sounds like with the tamarim, right? The sweeter dates, the bitter dates. They're all dates. So, Chelkas Miyam thinks that these two tshuvas farim are not arguing on each other at all. He says it really depends what we mean by further tikkun, by, you know, fixing it up more, doctoring it up. He says, I'm not nearly any as daiti, they machlokas b'davar. Delo arei hechsher ka arei hechsher. Not all further preparations are exactly the same. The Chesed Avram was talking about, you're not changing the actual food itself. Take a vachar bishul. Elishu machshiro umesakno. You're dressing it up. You're fixing it up. Kedeshir roi gam l'shulcham lachem. To make it something that would be presentable to a king. That's already considered olal shulcham lachem before you dress it up. You know, those garnishings aren't changing the etzem of the food. Whatever little spices you add in is not changing the etzem of the food. Avla Beishlomo, Mary, what was the case of the Beishlomo? What was the case? You took seeds that are now edible, but certainly not olal shulchan malachim, and what did you make out of them? Oil. You totally changed the entire product. It's not seeds anymore. It used to be seeds, now it's oil. You can't say that the guy made you a food that's all shulchan lachem because he didn't. The was klal. He didn't present you with any oil. You're the one that made the oil. It's an entirely new food. When you make the oil, that's not like Hosafas Tavlin or Gemar Bishul that the Chesed Avram was talking about. So that's, I think it's a pretty good chiluk, no? That if it's if I mean everything is always gonna have little tikkunim, the way it's sliced, the way it's that. That's not a fundamental enough change to say that that this food has fundamentally changed and it used to be not olal shulchan malachim, now it's olal shulchan malachim. No, you say that the whole time it was olal shulchan malachim. You just obviously in the White House kitchen they're slicing, right? If you were to go into the White House kitchen and before they slice the turkey, you just, you know, take a knife and cut off a piece from the edge, right? Which it's not olal shulchan malachim. Because they're going to slice it just so. They're going to carve it just so. And I took it before it was carved. And that's ridiculous. Of course it's olal shulchan malachim. But if it's something that's just an entirely different food, it's a tikkun that's going to change the food entirely, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah, I would think the Darkei Tshuva is saying similar. Right? Right? What's he saying? That you're putting tavlinim and things like this. And he's calling that olal shulchan malachim. Yeah, I think that's the same thing exactly. Someone asked yesterday about coffee, just to quickly mention, because coffee seems to be olal shulchan malachim. You know, it is something that's served at any kind of meal. If you look in Shuvas Van Hagos, and I told you yesterday that the heter with coffee is not about Olam Shechula. The heter with coffee was that it's about Nachuk Moshul Chai, that we view coffee as just flavored water. Problem is that doesn't work for every drink. You know, it's like before davening, you're allowed to drink water, for sure. Right? So why are we making on coffee as well? So Mishabrua has this chumrah, right? That before davening, you can drink coffee, but no sugar. No milk, no sugar. Because that's already not just flavored water. You know, then already you're having a whole chash of a drink. So, like, where do you draw the line exactly? So Rav Shlomo Zalman already writes, come on, you know, sugar and milk. No, people can't even drink coffee without sugar and milk. So it's not coffee. That meaning it's not, so even with the sugar and milk, it's just really just flavored water that was flavored with bitterness, so you need to take away the bitterness and make it taste okay. But does that mean you can go to Starbucks and get your $12, you know, double espresso latte, grande, you know, that takes you like 15 minutes just to say the order? You know? Yeah, it's just a coffee. It's just a coffee. So where do you draw the line? So, you know, or like hot chocolate, right? Hot chocolate is just flavored water? Or is it liquefied chocolate? So it's difficult. So Rav Shturbach talks about shoko, I think, is what he's actually, like in Israel? Shoko? What? Yeah, okay. I think that's what he's talking about. He says, Bishokloda, Nira Shein Isser Bishalakum. No Isser Bishalakum. Why? It's gotta be a very chashva thing. And hot chocolate's not so chashva. It's very interesting. He's careful over here. It was accepted for generations already that coffee and tea is not bishalakum. Generations. We're not going to change that. But he's suggesting that the reason that it was accepted for generations was not the reason I said yesterday, that it's nechel kmo shul chai. He suggests, and by the way, coffee beans, there are people that will eat coffee beans. I was once, I did a program called Ask OU, and I was in YU Smicha. So before I lived in Yeridea, we did like a kashrus seminar, 3 weeks at the OU, going to different plants and whatever, and we went to a coffee place. So first, I learned a lot of things. One thing I learned is that when they sell flavored coffee beans, it's not like they're carefully roasted with a flavor and huge and that. They take a bag of regular beans, they take a jar of flavoring, they pour it into the bag, they don't even measure. They pour it into the bag, they shake up the bag, and that's it. There's your flavored coffee beans. So that was like a little shocking to me. Like I felt like everything would be, you know, done by machines and perfectly. And it's like he didn't even measure. He just like took some whatever. So but one of the guys that was with us was a guy from Denmark, and he took the beans and he like bit it with his front teeth. He said, "Oh, these are actually pretty high quality beans." What? He had like a taste for you know, so there are people that apparently could eat them raw, but I wasn't even thinking about the beans. I was thinking it's water, it's flavored water, and water is nachol kamo shul chai. Water is fine. However, Rosh Torah seems to be assuming otherwise. He seems to be assuming that the heter that you have with tea and coffee is that it's in olal shulchan malach. Aye, but it is all shulchan malach. Nah, it's not. It's never a real. Again, you know, bringing us back to what the Gemara said. In all shulchan malach, the lav is basapas. It's not something that's going to be a significant part of the su'udah. The lav is basapas. Okay. Then we have the third kula of the Gemara. Let's at least try to get through the third kula. Third kula of the Gemara. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara told us two stories. One is a guy comes and he lights your swamp on fire. And then, you know, when life hands you a lemon, you make lemonade. So on the one hand, your neighbor committed arson and your whole swamp is gone. But on the other hand, you now have delicious toasted grasshoppers. So do you say that, no, those toasted grasshoppers are also because of bishalakim? So the Gemara said, no, it's mutter. Because if you ask him, what are you doing? He's not going to say, oh, I'm toasting grasshoppers for my neighbor for dinner. He's going to tell you that he's lighting your swamp on fire. And therefore, the grasshoppers are mutter. What was the other case of Gemara had? Each case is instructed. Well, I had two other cases actually. He burns off the hair from the head of a sheep, and as he's burning off the hair from the head of the sheep, the ears get nice and toasted. The ears get cooked. So you're allowed to eat the ears because he had no kavana. And there was a third case. Right? Lamed Chesam and Aleph. What does Gemara say? Third case? They're all important over here. Hayovicham, second wide line. Hayovicham, the Shadam, Sikhsa La'atuna. What does that mean? He put some sort of peg into an oven, meaning not something edible. He wanted to harden something by cooking it. And then, the cover by Yisrael Kara Me'ikara. A Jew had snuck into that oven that the guy was going to use for his building materials. Right? He snuck in a gourd of some sort into the oven so that when the guy lights up the oven to cook his peg, he's also cooking the Jew's vegetable. Shapir dami. That's perfectly fine. It says no pshita. Obviously it's fine. Now, ma'u the table of v'shulei mana kamachavim, kamash malon, l'shrurei mana kamachavim. Whoa. So first of all, pshita. What's so pashut about it? So what does Rashi say? Pshita, haynu d'Rabbi Yochanan. That's the same thing as burning the hair of the sheep. Of course, it's the same thing. No, ma'u the table, hayo v'chum l'v'shulo l'hai sichsa ichavim, v'l'shem bishul hisiku. That the guy was having kavana to be mevashel his peg. Come ashmalon, that's not called bishul. Cooking a peg is not called bishul. It's called hardening. It's called something else. So he had no kavanas bishul. So if I were to ask you a shayla right now, a guy puts his fish into the oven to cook his fish. You had your food in the oven also. And the guy turns on the oven and cooks his fish. Is your food bishul akum? He's not even aware that your food is there. Yes, right? That's what it sounds from the Gemara. Definitely yes, Bishlakim. Because the whole reason that we have a hava, meaning that it's aser, to eat this gourd that the Jew put in the oven, is because the guy is having kavana to be mevashel, his peg. He doesn't even know your food is in the oven. Kavar by Yisrael. It was buried under the ashes. But he's having, I would still think it's us, he's having kavana to be mevashel's peg. Kamash malon, so I would have said the kamash malon is that in achinami. I would have said kamash malon in achinami. He's being mevashel his peg. But it doesn't matter. That's the point is, he's being mevashel his thing. He doesn't have kavana for your thing. That's not what the Gemara says. Kamash malon, he's not trying to be mevashel his peg. He's trying to harden his peg. But if he was trying to actually be mevashel his own thing, and in the process he's mevashel your thing, then it would be aser. Then it would talk to be a problem for Bishlaku. If you look in the tour, source number 25, V'lo aser ala kishem mechavin of the gulim l'shem bishel, aval eino mechavin l'shem bishel, k'on shi'isa katan r'li yaveish bo kelim. Our case of the Gemara, v'hayu bo basar, v'layon debo, there was meat in there, he didn't know about it. V'nitzlo, shachar chosh gedila, as yaser, v'nitzlo, rosh hayaz naim, shem rachna, shurin lachila, or he burns off the hair at the top of the sheep, or whatever, mutter, kivin shlo kivin l'shem bishul. Avalim kivin l'shem bishul, but if he has kavana l'bishul, kigom, shehisi katan or levashal bo, he's lighting an oven to cook. But there was meat in there that he was unaware of. Vinitzla, and that meat gets roasted. Even though he had no idea it was even there, he had no kavanah to cook it. It's going to be asr. Wow. Says the Torah. What if you have like a little bit with the reverse case? He knew that the meat was there, but that wasn't his goal. You know, the Gemara said of the case that you buried your gourd in there in a way that it was, that he had no idea that it was there. And he had no kavanas bishul whatsoever. So he said, if he had kavanas bishul and no idea that your food was there, then it's going to be asim. What if he had no kavanas bishul, but he knew that your food was there? Meaning, is the Gemara saying that Kavanas Bishul is, that's the criteria? A guy has Kavanas Bishul and your thing gets cooked? Asr. A guy has no Kavanas Bishul and your thing gets cooked? Mutter. Or is the Gemara saying that Kavanas Bishul is one of the criteria? That if either he has Kavanas Bishul, or he has an awareness, or he has an awareness that your food is there, one or the other would be enough to say that it's asr. So says the tour, lefichach im yada shaya basr betanu, afilu chimoli abish kli, if he knew that there was meat in the oven, even though that was not his kavanah at all, his kavanah was only to dry his kli, asr. Still going to be asr. Why? He had no kavanas bishul. Ah, so it says the Torah, cheshin on shema kivin gam lebishul. It was a critical line in the Gemara that it was kavar. You buried the thing in there. He had no idea that it was there. Because we're choshesh, maybe he had kavanas bishul.
Any questions on that?
There were three cases in the Gemara. Okay. I burned down a swamp. I may not be thinking about grasshoppers. You may not even have to be choshish, so I'm thinking about grasshoppers. It's like
other sheep.
What?
Sheep.
Oh, what about the sheep? Right. I mean, burning down the swamp is not going to be a kasha. Like someone is burning down a house, right? And they say, "What are you doing?" There's no chance that he's going to say, "Oh, last night's leftovers. I'm just trying to throw them out, so I'm getting rid of them." No, you're burning down an entire house. You're not burning last night's leftovers. Right? No chance. But burning of the sheep, like sheeps have ears. Sheep. Sheep have ears, right? They have ears. He's not aware of that? He's not aware of that? No, of course he's aware. It's right there. It's right on the two sides of the head. He's got to be aware of that. Does that fit with the Torah's chiddush? That any time he's not having kavanah to be mevasha, but he's aware of the presence of the food, we're choshesh for kavanah levasha, and therefore it's going to be asr. Isn't that direct? So the Gemara didn't discuss that case.
Presumably, in the case of the sheep, he's just trying to burn the hair. He's like trying, maybe even dafka, not to burn. He's not trying to burn the sheep. He's probably trying not to burn the ears.
Ah, so an interesting svara. Maybe he's dafka trying to avoid the ears and he messed up a little. Right? He's dafka trying to avoid the ears. I don't know. I don't know if that would be the case or not, but I hear. You have to say some sort of chilek. Right? Beis Yosef tries to say some sort of chilek. Right? Where's Beis Yosef? Yeah, in the bottom paragraph of the Beis Yosef. Mashikas of Fichum, Yadashaya Basar Batanar, Afiluchim, Liavish, Kliyasir. Haina Mashikas of Rosh, Vigasarif. Velor isi le'echad me'aposum shekasav ke... No, he says earlier some sort of chiluk. I mean, he just, we might as well read it. Velor isi le'echad me'aposum shekasav kein, ki aran pirush ki yusarif demashu mina demeikar mechavim goy l'shrurei mana, u'basrach l'vashula, v'kas shen mechuver. No, but where does he say? What? Oh, it's the Prisha? Sorry, yeah. The Prisha. Lefichach miyad ha-shayi basar betanu. Source number 27. Adil el-chai. Shelo hiti b'gumar ela b'shelo yada ha-goy shahaya basar betanu. The raya to the sheet of the Torah is that the only case the Gemara said was mutter is that he had no idea that the meat was in the oven. Why do you have to make it that he has no idea? Just make it that he's having kavana to dry out his peg or whatever it is. That's where this lufich comes from. What about the rosh hakeves? Umiu imcharach rosh gedi mutalechul menu afsha go yodabo. Obviously, he knows that it has ears. Yishum devade lohei daito al shum bishul. Dein derech levashel elitzlos kach kla. No one cooks sheep ears that way. How do you cook meat? In an oven. If he's aware that there's meat in the oven, we have to be choshesh that he's going to think, oh, two birds with one stone. I'll dry out my kli, and I'll also cook the food in the oven. But when it's not the derech, it's a little bit different than what I was saying, right? It's not the derech to cook that way at all, then we're not choshish. That would explain the swamp case also. Right? It's the way you cook grasshoppers is not by burning down a city. Right? That's not the way. Memela, yes, it does get cooked, but that's not the way you do it. Right? It's like the shayla, is it a violation of of erasing on Shabbos when you burn down a house? Probably not, right? I bet there's books in the house. Yeah, probably not. That's not the way you do. Yeah.
So even like the going on isn't a reason on its own. It's only a reason going back to the kavanah thing, as seen in the case of the
right, meaning the din is kavanah special, yeah. Or even chashash kavanah special, which is also interesting. That chashash kavanah special is enough, that they were gozer even on a suffix. Right? Meaning, the whole din is din drabanan, but they made this gzeira even when there's a chashash that he's having kavanah special, which means it's a suffix whether he has kavanah special. Which is interesting, that they were gozer with such strength that even on a suffix. Yeah.
Did the Ram not bring this down as a heter because it's not that as a heter, it's just not official? The Ram only brought three, he didn't bring this one as one of the
kulas. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, you have a roasted steak. It's not called bishul.
It's not called the bishul akum.
It's not called bishul akum. Okay.
He's doing something else.
Meaning all the other heterim
was
something about the chefta, right? All the other heterim was something about the food itself. That food is not the type that's olah shulchan aruch. That food is a type that's not kumo shulchai. That food is not the type that's shan b'yasad de'or. And this is about his relationship to the food, which is the actual gedar iser. I mean, the actual gedar iser is the guy's doing something for the food, the guy's contribution to the food. Right, that would probably be the difference. Yeah.
It sounds like it's similar to like what Rashi says, how Rashi defines the Nechel Kumashu Chai. According to the Siriyaku, he said that.
Right. Right. But that does fit the Ran's. Right. But Rashi's got the Ran anyway. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Could this be a significant Kula of the Prisha, or it's just like shot? Will this like.
What do you mean? Why?
Like, could this ever happen? But like a guy cooks something like not in the right way, so it would be more good.
What? The case of the case of Shlomo Miller. The Shlomo Miller's cooler work, right? L'chora, if he's aware that there's a challenge there, and that he's cooking it. Meaning, let's say he's aware of the whole business. Right, he knows that they're tumbling about this challenge that they just, you know, and he knows that they can't ask him to turn on that, but he's turning on the thing. He's aware of the whole thing. So would the cooler work? So I don't know, right?
What is
it? If it's all about kavanasa levashel, then the cooler would not work, right? But if it's about but that's not the derech at all. I don't know, maybe.
The only reason we came out of Derek is because that's why we could say Bade Lohay Adaito Hashem Bishol.
Ah, okay, right. Right. So the Kula wouldn't work. If he was aware of what he was doing, then the Kula wouldn't work. Right, the way the case was described to me is he wasn't aware of what he was doing. That just call a guy from the street, tell him to turn off the electricity in your house, turn on the electricity, he has no idea that it has anything to do with crock pots. Right, that l'chora would work, but if he was aware, then it wouldn't work. Because then,
Why wouldn't it work? Why is it not like the sheep case?
Why is it not like what?
The sheep case.
The sheep case, because with the whole idea that the Torah is saying is he's definitely not having kavanah to cook the ears, because no one cooks ears that way. But if he knows that the whole problem was the challenge, and that's why he's shutting off the whole electricity in the house and turning it back on, so he's having kavanah to turn on the crock pot. right? Going back to that case. One last marmakum for today, and then we'll. Am I supposed to stop already? We said 20. Yeah, right? Yeah, we really, really, really need him to, I think. I think so.
Unless somebody else would like to take it. What time do we end, Josh? We're going to have
All right, so maybe we'll stop here. You take a look at the Chalukos Binyamin on your own if you have an opportunity in source number 30. And Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll get on Sunday, we'll start getting into the kulas that the Rishonim suggest that are not. Well, really, there's only one that we didn't cover yet, and I'll give you the next Maramakim sheet also, because we'll move on to the next one. Right, the Jewish being done in a Jewish home section. Yeah, that's Be'ez Hashem, what we'll get into next time.